often hear scripture from 2 Kings, but hear now God's word for us this morning, starting with a prayer for illumination, which is, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, quiet any voice inside of us but your own, that we may hear your message for us this morning." Amen. 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through 17. One day, Elisha was passing through Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to have a meal. So whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for a meal. And she said to her husband, "Look, I am sure that man who regularly passes our way is a holy man of God. So let us make a small roof chamber with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that he can stay there whenever he comes our way." So one day, Elisha went up to the chamber and lay down, and he said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite woman in." When he'd called her, she stood before Elisha, and he said to him, and Elisha said to his servant, "Say to her, since you have taken all the trouble for us, what may be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" And she answered, "No, I live among my own people." And he said, "What then may be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." And Elisha said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood at the door, and he said, "At this season, in due time, you shall embrace a son." And she replied, "Oh, no, no, my lord, O man of God, do not deceive your servant." But the woman conceived and bore a son that season in due time, as Elijah had declared to her.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is somewhat more familiar. It comes from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'm going to be reading verses 38 through 42. Listen again for God's Word. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." I've shared with some of you once before the story that made the rounds on the internet a while back and a few years before that. It's a true story, at least supposedly true story, and it's about a couple that invited some people to dinner, a number of people. And at the table that night, the hostess turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Sweetheart, would you like to say the blessing?" The girl responded, I wouldn't know what to say." "Just say what you hear mommy say," her mother answered. "Are you sure?" the girl responded. "Yes, don't be so shy." So the girl dutifully bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" I wonder how the rest of the evening went. Doesn't say much for the host family hospitality, does it? Hospitality. Did you realize that both our Old and New Testament readings today are about good hospitality? Just like the old Southern hospitality I was raised upon. And now, in my later years that I live in the Midwest, I am aware of a custom known as Midwestern hospitality. It too is wonderful. There was a wealthy woman over in Shunem. Anytime the prophet Elisha happened to go through town, she invited him over for fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and green beans. It's right there in the Bible. She said to her husband, "This is a real prophet, a man of God who's always stopping by for Sabbath dinner. Let's build him a special room so he can stay here whenever he likes." I vaguely remember growing up that my great-grandparents' house in Little Gill, West Virginia, deep in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains, had a room. It was a guest room, and they called it the Prophet's Chamber. It was for traveling ministers that would pass through town because there was no church in that small town. And that's where that room gets its name. This story here, the prophet's chamber that the Shunammite woman set aside for Elisha. Now, Elisha loved the room as much as he loved her cooking. So he says to her, "I want to repay you for your hospitality. Name whatever you need. It's yours." Well, I told you she was rich. The Bible said that. She tells Elisha thanks, but she's well fixed and doesn't need a thing. What on earth can I give an old woman who's got everything, Elisha asked his servant. Well, said the servant, she's got no son, and although her husband is a rich man, he's very old. Great idea, says Elisha. Call her over and I'll give her the good news. At this season, in due time, you shall embrace a son, Elisha tells her. I'll embrace what? She said as she turns up her hearing aid. Young man, do you know how old I am? Have you seen my husband? Who said I wanted a son? 9 months later, the Tuesday afternoon book club really had something to talk about. Yes. And in our New Testament lesson, there were a couple of sisters over in Bethany, Mary, who loved to sit around and talk about great ideas, and Martha, who loved to throw big dinner parties. Jesus is on the road traveling, and Martha invites him in for a big meal. Remind you of the Shunammite woman? Come on over to our house, she says. In 2 hours, I'll whip you up the best kosher meal you've ever had. See, Martha is showing hospitality. She has received this hungry, needy person into her house. And she's in there working like a dog, but there's her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus as he explains to her the finer points of the Lord's Prayer. Hey, says Martha, wiping her dishpan hands on her apron. Jesus, how about telling that egghead sister of mine to get in here and help? Martha, says Jesus, settle down and let's talk. Doing is okay, but there's much to be said for doing nothing, for listening. Mary knows. I'm not just on my way through town to Jerusalem. I'm also on my way to the cross of Calvary, through life to death. A few weeks and I'm out of here for good. Then you'll need the Word more than you'll need bread. Your fresh baked rolls are great, Martha, but as they say in Scripture, you can't live by bread alone. He spoke these words to busy Martha, whimsically updated with the help of the minister William Willimon, just a few verses after Jesus took a sharp left turn to Jerusalem. The strange man of God that Martha invited to dinner has, in a figurative sense, a cross on his back. And what's more, opening your door to Jesus, asking him in, is not just a matter of fixing up a few nice things for the preacher. It's a matter of Martha taking up her cross too. Remind you of Elisha and the Shunammite woman? Open your door to a servant of God, you might get surprised. God's intrusions are rarely what we expect. Look, all I wanted was a little food and polite conversation, but what the Shunammite woman got was a trip from the geriatric ward to the maternity ward. Look, Jesus, we were supposed to have a nice little kosher dinner. What do you mean, discipleship? How much is this meal going to cost me anyway? Friends, open your door to God, all right? Just remember, this is a real God, not some tame deity you can have over for simply a chat. Break bread and share fried chicken at the table of the living God, and you don't know how you might be surprised. The Shunammite woman, you see, was like a lot of us. She was well fixed, yes, but her life was still fixed. The diamonds were nice. The spring cruises were great. But at her age, with no child, which in those days meant no future whatsoever, about all she could do was settle into what is as it is and redecorate the den and add on a wing for the nice new young preacher. Her life was fixed. And then she opened her door to the prophet of God and found that Reverend Elijah is more a man of God than even she expected. He gives her more than her heart's desire, some gift she could not dare to ask for because she dared not to conceive it possible. God's presence intrudes, not always bringing, my friends, what we ask for, but what God knows we truly need. And Martha opened her door in the same way. Understand that conventional rabbis did not go into a single woman's house in those days, much less waste their wisdom in teaching women. And yet Jesus makes both Martha and Mary full-fledged disciples. Jesus will not spoon-feed them, will not patronize them. Instead, he gives the truth of his way to them with both barrels, even though it is truth that is not easily defined, much less lived. Get out of the kitchen, listen, learn, follow me, he says. Martha, like her Shunammite sister, also receives a gift, but like that given to the woman of Shunem, not the gift that Martha expected. She, with Mary, is taken seriously, given the opportunity to be a full disciple of the one who proclaims the intruding, barrier-breaking hospitality of the living God. In other words, understand, my friends, that these women are not the only ones practicing hospitality. when they open their doors, they open their lives to the living God. When they served, they were served by God's grace and God's word that changed their lives and futures in ways they could not begin to imagine. So I ask you, in these days of transition, as a new pastor is soon to come to this church, as a new school year is soon to begin, as a new season will come in the life both of the church and in the lives of your families, are you open to God knocking at your door? Now I'm just asking. But what about that voice nudging you toward reconciliation with a neighbor, an ex-friend, a family member with whom you've been estranged? Could that be God knocking? What about in the midst of depression, deep despair? There's some glimmer out there that catches your attention just for a moment. A glimmer of hope. Do you think that might be God knocking? In so many ways, my friends, God is knocking in your life and mine and in the life of this church. Let me tell you a story that's happened in a real sense already here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. But let me tell it as a way that other things might happen. It's a story about a minister describing her congregation in Florida. The congregation became concerned about the plight of the homeless in their city, and they could see them wandering the streets at night, sleeping in doorways, and someone said, well, we've got this big fellowship hall downstairs. Why don't we simply invite these homeless men to come spend the night here? And why not? How nice of the church to do something for the homeless. The first night, the pastor recalls, 55 homeless men entered the fellowship hall. And they learned that sometimes you have problems. First of all, said the minister, we found out that there's a reason why so many are homeless. Nobody wants them. Some of them are crazy or sick or offensive or malnourished or addicted. We never actually had met any homeless people. It was rough at first. There were a few fights, a robbery. Someone came down to distribute food one night and got roughed up. It was a mess. All we wanted to do was to be nice to some homeless men. So what happened, someone asked the pastor. What happened was, we actually became a church. We had two choices. Either throw them out, or else be the sort of place that could show hospitality to 55 homeless men. And by the grace of God, we chose the latter. Medical care, food, counseling, support, hand-holding, listening were developed. Our congregation was converted from a friendly, ordinary religious club protecting its clubhouse into a committed, bold church. Because when we opened the door to 55 homeless men, guess who else got in with them? You know who it was? It was the one who said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. Now, of course, Wildwood Presbyterian Church, through its PADS ministry, already ministers to the homeless. But my friends, I am excited to hear in the future in what ways Pastor Eric and you will collaborate to determine other places and other ways and other forms mission is calling this church to be done in the name of God, that God is calling you to do this mission. I can't wait to hear. Such an exciting time practicing Christian hospitality. And I wonder, not only in our church's life, but also in your life right now, if maybe there's a knock at the door.
Please refresh the page.
Just maybe. I wonder if where you're now living, there's a stranger outside waiting for you to open up. That tug at the heart, that tap at the door, it could be you know who. The one who said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Do you want to invite him in? That's my question to you in your family and individual life. My question to you as you prepare for Pastor Eric. Do you want to invite him in? After all, it's the hospitable thing to do. Yes. Open the door, my friends, to the living Christ who lives among us. Even now. Amen. In gratitude for the many, many ways that Christ is knocking at our doors, let us worship God with our morning offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, for all your good gifts, we give you thanks and praise. We ask that with this offering, you would take our lives as well and use us in the good news of spreading hospitality. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you very much. I do want to remind you of the hospitality workshop. We'll be right here in the sanctuary for those who would like to stay or get a glass of water or something briefly to eat and then rejoin with us.